It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Don't do this often and don't like doing it. But Chris, on a day like today, I can't say yes, yes, yes. I can't say it.
So, no, no, no?
It's a no, 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 no day.
No,
no, no! No, no, no! Because that's what we said after every brick in the second half.
Oh, my God.
112 to 105. The Kings, they blow another huge lead. You saw the momentum shift. We all felt it. We all knew it. There was a little twinkling in our eye thinking maybe they could hold on and figure it out, but we knew how it was going to end, and that's exactly what happened. The Kings blow another one. I don't know if we need funeral music going to say goodbye to the sixth seed, to just lay it to rest, because I'm telling you, Chris, at this point, I'm thinking about the 7 and the 8. We had opportunities, and it's done.
It's not done, though. It's not done.
Like, it's done.
Look, it's very, 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 very unlikely, but I'm sorry, I was watching social media after, I shouldn't say watching social media, I saw social media after the game. I'm still seeing Warrior and Laker fans talking about the sixth seed.
Well, that's
so
insane.
So why should we give up too? That's crazy. That's crazy. If those people can go ahead and have confidence, like, that's the part of this. I understand, like, these are bad losses, these are bad games, but, like, this is where Kings fans do like to get down on themselves and feel like
I'm down.
Oh, and that's fine. I'm also
down.
Not saying that's wrong at all. I just mean, I don't think it needs to be 100% seasons over when they have two really big games on Thursday and Friday. That point, the season is 100% officially cooked if they lose those two games. But if all of these other fan bases have faith in their team, like I thought the Kings, I'm sorry, like I'll test y'all real quick. Mm-hmm. I thought the Kings fans always love to talk about how best fan base out there, loyal to the soil, all that stuff. Well, all of a sudden, this is the second winning season we have had in 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everybody's willing to jump ship. I get disappointment and, you know, led under expectation. Like, that's kind of how this thing goes. I think the fact that they're still in it, this is an incredibly competitive Western Conference. Crazy things can happen. I mean, the Suns got destroyed by the Clippers yesterday. In the first half, the Pelicans were losing to the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
We saw the tale of two halves in our game, but also in that game. It's just not 100% over. Of course, I'm not saying we should feel good about the game yesterday at all. Terrible loss. They're up 19. It's the same story we've seen all year long. But I'm just a little bit tired of seeing all these Kings fans, oh, season's cooked. Oh, let's talk about next season already. It's like, you know, they still got to play some games, and you're going to feel real stupid if they – I definitely don't think they're making the second round, but if they make some noise in the playoffs, all of a sudden everyone's going to be, oh, my God, this is so fun, never left. Can't believe all these people jumped off the bandwagon. So there's still time. They're still playing games.
But they're not jumping
left.
Off the bandwagon, Chris.
It feels like they're not jumping off the bandwagon, but all of a sudden there's no faith. There's this team always – and they always do hurt you, and I understand that it's kind of how it goes, but – I think that people are being a little bit too dramatic, a little bit too emotional. Mm-hmm. I understand the loss yesterday was terrible. I don't feel good about it. I think the Kings definitely should be completely embarrassed by what happened yesterday. But at the same time, it's all this doom and gloom that I got no time for it. Like, this is basketball. Everyone's playing in this tough Western Conference at the bottom of it. It's fine if we want to be sad and upset. There's legitimate things to get really, really upset about. But I'm just not here to say, season's over. Oh, my God. Here we go. I'm just not here for it. I'm really not.
No, look, the bottom line is we're not on the court, okay? People are going to react the way they want to react. The question is, to the Kings, what are you prepared to do to stay out of that 9-10?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Sure.
It's still in front of you. I get what you're saying. I'm not personally talking about the 6-seed, but 7-8, and then you win one and you get in, cool.
Yeah.
That 9-10, that's a problem to me.
Sure.
That's a problem. So it's still in front of them as far as 7-8.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the 6-seed, and I'm talking about the way that they have been losing.
They don't control their destiny for the 6-seed anymore.
No, they do not. And I guess technically they could help themselves because of the Pelicans and the Suns.
Oh, absolutely. If they win out, yeah, that's putting a lot of pressure on other teams.
But they
yeah.
would still have to lose.
Exactly.
If the Kings went out, they still could not get the six seed, but they could get that seven. The bottom line is this comes down to the Kings and what are they willing to do to, and we're going to talk about it roundtable coming up today, so you don't want to miss that.
At 11:30, we're doing today.
At 11:30, everybody's talking about the threes, right? Yeah. Franchise. And I know we're about to get into Frank Facts. The franchise record in taken threes, not made threes. Okay, don't get it twisted. Not made threes. No. Is there any type of counterpunch? Look, man. Mike Brown, when he was with the Warriors, remember with the whoop that trick? Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
Mike Brown coached that game. Steve Kerr was unable to coach that game. They lost by 50 points.
Kings fans were very scared after that game. And that was right after they announced they were hiring Mike
Brown.
That's
right. And the whole thing was Mike Brown saying, I'm the defensive coordinator, right? So people, okay. So when it comes to offense, I don't know. Are there any wrinkles you can put into the offense? Because you cannot continue to do this for the rest of the season, or we're just praying that they just stay hot.
Yeah.
And the reality is nobody stays that hot.
Sure.
They just don't. Frank Facts.
Let's do it.
We'll
get into it.
And let's hear some of these crazy numbers from last night.
Well, we're going to try and keep it positive at first because the first half was a major, major, major positive for this team. With another loss, however, the Kings do add to their record. Just three games remaining left on the regular season. The Kings appear to be closing in, Frankie puts, on a play-in tournament appearance. De'Aaron Fox and Keon Ellis set fire to Nets. Not the Brooklyn Nets, scoring 12 points each, combining to knock down 8 of their first 11 from deep during their first 6 minutes of the first quarter. Over the first 24 minutes of action, De'Aaron scored 21 first half points to lead Sacramento's offense, and they led by as many as 19 points before halftime. Keon Ellis established a new career high, scoring 20 points in a single half while knocking down 6 of 8 from 3 before entering the third quarter. The Kings duo of Fox and Ellis are the second pair of Kings teammates to score 20-plus points during a single half this season. De'Aaron and Domas both did it on December 26th in Portland. And this is where things turn, unfortunately, where we enter the second half, where not even 1 week after blowing a 21-point lead against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, Sacramento allowed OKC in that third quarter to go on a 24-7 run to open the quarter, a run that reduced the Kings' lead from 19 points all the way down to 2, with half of the quarter left on the clock. Sacramento went 13-51. That is 25% from the field, including 6 of 27, 22% over the final 24 minutes of action. That is the second half. The Kings shot 25% from the field, 22% from 3.
Sorry, I'm getting another call.
Yeah. Thunder offense hit their stride during the second half as the Kings shot 25 and 22. OKC shot 62 and 58 in that second half, percentage-wise. The Kings will face New Orleans on Thursday in front of a national TV audience on TNT before meeting Phoenix 24 hours later on Friday. Those two games are absolutely massive as Phoenix lost last night to the Clippers. They now sit in the 7th seed as the Pelicans beat the Trailblazers. They now sit in the 6th seed. We know the Kings obviously do not hold the tiebreaker over the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans dominated the Kings this season, holding a 4-0 record while outscoring Sacramento by an average of 21 points during those four matchups. That game is again on Thursday against the 6-seeded Pelicans. If the Kings win that one, they will still not be very close. They will be still a game out of the 6-seed. They will more than likely hold that 7-seed going into the matchup against Phoenix, and that of course makes that game against Phoenix so incredibly important for the Kings to lock down that 7 spot, at the very least lock down that 7 spot if they beat Phoenix. So really, really big week ahead, even though, again, it was a very, very, very disappointing loss. You do have to put it in your rear view now as you have you know, after you play one big game in the season, you have to play another. And that's how it goes with three games left. And these next two, as always tends to happen, are the biggest two. It's really what it is. Beat Phoenix, beat New Orleans, and you're putting yourself in a really good spot. Maybe New Orleans slips a couple games here at the end of the season, makes things interesting. I think New Orleans would actually have to go... I think New Orleans would have to lose out pretty much the rest of the year in order for the Kings to leapfrog them. But Phoenix is a bit of an easier task
for, seven. Phoenix for seven, Pelicans for six.
Yes.
And, yeah, I mean, the Pelicans, honestly, if the Kings take care of business, here we go again, we'll be cheering for the Warriors because it'll be Pelicans at Warriors. And then at that point, obviously, Kings have to take care of business at that point. Pelicans have the Warriors, and then for whatever it's worth, and I know AD didn't play last night, it'd be Lakers at Pelicans. So it's possible, but I don't even want to talk about that. We need to talk about what is going on in their own house. What is going on in-house with the Kings, and that's what we'll do when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. From the 916, Chris. Tied 105 with a minute left, and Fox goes for a three. Horrible decision. Get a bucket and stop, and you win the game. Then great inbounds play for Keon, and he passes up an open layup to Sabonis to what? Make sure he gets his double-double. Terrible decisions and or bad coaching, not winning basketball. That's from Folsom Mike. And I find myself, I walk in to the building this morning. I say, Chris, it's a Wasabi Wednesday. Yep. I don't know how far we're going to have to take this thing, but I find myself extremely torn.
Yeah.
Torn between the Kings and their frustrating losses and the idea that they're better than this, but also at the same time, understanding what they're missing and maybe they're not. And that's basically where this thing falls. Malik Monk and his importance to this team and Kevin Huerter and his importance to this team is missed. And at least last night, OKC was fully loaded. Mm-hmm. They did end up playing with everyone. So at the very least, you can say, well, it's not like the Knicks game or the Celtics game, something like that. They were fully loaded. They are jockeying for a top seed in a crazy Western Conference. So it's not the fact that they're losing.
Right.
If they were getting their doors blown off each and every game, we'd be annoyed for a different reason.
Right.
But at least we could say they just don't have enough. Davion's not that guy.
Right.
Keon is not that guy. They just don't have the pieces. It's not about that. It's about the fact that they're getting leads. Their defensive efficiency is supposed to be better, but somehow they're continuing to blow these leads. So it makes no sense. So it's more annoying than just knowing that these guys just aren't good enough.
Yes.
So that is why I'm completely stumped as to how to feel on this whole thing and what the expectations should be. Because when you see the offense, I mean, I'll put it to you like this. And I know, and we have plenty of sound from Coach Mike Brown we'll get into. I'll put it to you like this. We'll joke Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and yes, he traveled, and yes, he's a free throw merchant.
20.
But it feels, Chris, it does feel like the others. I know Sabonis didn't have the best game. He was due for a bad one, right? He was due.
I can give him a pass. That's another thing, too. Kings fans were
no, that was
ridiculous
crazy.
Yesterday.
That was crazy.
That's insane. It's so stupid.
To me, the others did enough for De'Aaron Fox as your star to win that ball game. Is that fair or foul?
I think that's fair. I think it's fair. But it's also like, I think De'Aaron was great until that last minute, really. I mean, because I agree that, you know, you have 15 from, I mean, you have 26 from Keon Ellis. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, and Sabonis didn't do enough for sure. But like we said, he's allowed to have a bad night. He had 61 consecutive, very, very consistent nights. It's okay if he had one off night. HB, though, 1 of 8 from the field. He ended up getting to the line 10 times, which I definitely gave him flowers for yesterday on the stream. But I don't know if that's good enough. Keegan, efficiency-wise, not really good enough. The stat line looks good. I have a tough time putting the totality of the game on De'Aaron. I agree with you that you got a big performance out of Keon. You don't want to waste that. 8 threes. You get 7 threes out of De'Aaron. Forget how he got to those 7 threes. You got 7 threes out of De'Aaron. You get 15 and 10 out of Keegan. I guess that is enough to get the win. And they had a chance. They had a chance to get the win. It's just at that last minute, everything crumbled completely.
What De'Aaron Fox has been this season, and it's not that he hasn't played well. The problem is, for those out there that have seen the movie Friday, okay?
Great
movie. And Smokey, when they're talking about what's in the fridge, and whenever he comes over, you're always missing something.
Yeah.
Peanut butter, no jelly. Ham, no burger.
Right.
Kool-Aid, no sugar. That's what De'Aaron Fox has been this season. If he's hot early, he's cold late. If he's cold early, he's hot late, but it's too late. He hasn't been able to put it together. This Celtics game is another example. Balling all game. Then he misses the game winner. Is that fair? No, but that's the reality of the situation right now. He balled out last night, but when it mattered most, the reigning Mr. Sure. Clutch player wasn't clutch.
Sure.
So we just haven't gotten a full perform, a consistent full performance or performances from De'Aaron. And is that unfair? Probably. But that's just what it is.
No, I mean, I think it's a bigger example of, I think you could say it of everybody. Like, I'm not saying that that's not true of De'Aaron. I would just say that to your bigger point, too. I think that's kind of been the story of the season is that it's been close, but there's just something that hasn't. It feels like they're really knocking on the ceiling. They're trying to break through it, and they just, whatever that other thing is, it just hasn't been there to break through and kind of make, you know, they've been solid, they've been okay, they've been up, they've definitely been down, but they haven't ever found that thing that has made them consistently good. I mean, the most consistently good that they've looked is these last couple weeks on the defensive end, but it's been to the point that you just kind of made there. The offense has been terrible. They've been one of the bottom 5 points per game, field goal percentage, all that. It's been really bad since Malik went out, and I think that's been really tough, but I do agree. I think that there's just, in totality, been that one thing that it feels like the Kings don't have to break them through to that next tier of the six, five, four spots. And that's why, I mean, really, since the All-Star break and a little before that, they've been in this, what, 9-6 range and haven't really been close to getting anywhere above that.
As you started out the show saying that the Kings still have a chance, and if they take care of business, we know how this could end. You get that 7 seed and at least
you get a winning,
you're
play
in. Winning, you're in.
Yep.
But Chris, I just have to be honest with you, and I posted about this yesterday. The reason I'm torn on this is because ultimately, I just don't know if the Kings are good enough. I just don't know if they're good enough for what we hope out of the rest of this season. When Davion misses a shot in the fourth quarter, I'm not surprised. I don't really expect Davion to hit threes in the fourth quarter. I don't really expect Keon to hit threes in the fourth quarter. These are role players that you are asking to elevate their game throughout the whole game.
Sure.
I look more at a Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray in the fourth quarter, it felt like he did nothing. I don't know if he actually did nothing, but that's what it felt like. And you ultimately don't have...
No points, no steals, no assists.
And you don't have enough.
Yep.
You just don't have enough. So that's why I'm so torn, because I don't think they have enough, but they keep teasing us to the point where you think maybe they could make some noise.
Yeah.
And then you see the second half, and I'm going to keep on complaining, Chris.
Go
and
ahead.
I told you, I'm going to ask, but this halftime thing, it's still bad.
Yeah.
It's still horrendous.
I have an answer for you on that. Not an answer, but I have at least something I noticed yesterday, because I had a feeling that was coming.
As it's happening, Chris is saying, all right, we're going to have to get into this.
Yeah, damage control here.
We see your text coming through.
Yes.
TC, we see you on the line. We will get to you when we get back. And Chris will give us an answer as to, well, somewhat of an answer
as to
what is happening during halftimes. No more orange peels. No more grapes. No more. Figure it out. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Jackson Holliday, the son, I think he's got about at least three or four of them.
But does he really?
Yeah, and oh, I think man. Other sons are in the system as well. But Jackson Holliday is making his...
This is Matt Holliday's son?
Matt Holliday's okay, cool. son.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Holliday's
Oakland A's
son.
Legend, Matt Holliday.
Yes, that's right. Jackson Holliday has been pulled up. So there's a real cool video out where he gets pulled up, and the kid is a stud muffin. And Chris, you just picked him up on your fantasy
football team. I sure did. I absolutely did.
I think that this kid, I mean, and the Orioles, they're building it up like I've talked to you about. I went to check out the Orioles stadium when they weren't even good. And it was a fun time with the guys that they have out there, Adley Rutschman, things like that. I mean, it's an exciting time for baseball. And yeah, excited to see what he does. I'm always juiced up when one of the top prospects gets pulled up. Maybe it will continue to help baseball from a popularity standpoint. 916-339-1140. Before we get to the phone lines, this is from the 925, Chris. Interesting one. Being a clutch player is not the same as being a closer. Monk is the closer, the closest to a closer the Kings have. De'Aaron Fox hasn't figured out how to close yet. Until he does, he won't be in the same conversation as Shea.
I think that that's overthinking it.
Maybe a little.
I definitely think De'Aaron Fox is a clutch player, and I definitely think he's a close. Like, I don't really know what they're saying there. Like, are you saying Malik hits buzzer beaters more because he hit one this year? But I mean, you know, I would just disagree. I mean, the clutch stat is literally meant to be in very important situations. Like, it's meant to be 5 points, five less minutes. De'Aaron led the league in all those numbers last year. Even this year, De'Aaron, if you look at the clutch totals, De'Aaron is still top three in total points in the clutch. I disagree. I think eye test wise, I might be on your side a bit more, but I think that you can say one thing without putting down another. I think Malik is definitely a closer as well, but I don't think it needs to be a De'Aaron Fox is not Malik is.
Well,
I think both are.
And honestly, this might be a little prisoner.
And I don't know. Who really is just clutch? Even Steph has had moments where he hasn't been clutch, but yet you look at his clutch numbers here.
He's the favorite this season for clutch player of the year. I think it might be a little prisoner of the moment. You have two games where in the he missed that shot against the Celtics, and then last night he had opportunities and he couldn't hit. So I think that's how people feel right now.
It's been a bad year too.
Yeah, I think that's how people feel right now. We've talked about his free throws and 3-point percentage, things like that. So I get where they're coming from, but I probably disagree with clutch being different to closer. That's a bit of semantics for me. I'm just looking here, Chris, at what Shea did from the free throw line. It did feel like he missed more free throws than I thought, but he took 20.
Yes.
He was 16 of 20.
He took 20.
He took a lot. He took a lot. And he made them when they counted. He did miss some fairly late into the game and left the door open, but ultimately the Kings, again,
when you get 20 attempts,
20 of 58 from three-point land. 20 of 58. You had De'Aaron Fox putting up 17 threes. Keon Ellis putting up 15, but he did go 8 of 15. Trey Lyles put up 5. Davion Mitchell put up 6. Harrison Barnes 0 for 4. I mean, it's Keegan Murray 3 for 10. Just a lot of threes, man. It's just a lot of threes. 916-339-1140. Let's go to TC, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Alan and Chris, what's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, disgruntled and kind of mad about that game last night. Hey, just give me a minute. I kind of want to make sense of what I'm saying so everybody can understand me as far as fans and also you two guys. Check it out, though. So, first and foremost, it's too many threes. I call all the time and tell y'all about these things, bro. 63s, bro? Come on, man. That's like BS. Like, seriously, like, when they're not falling, you have to mix it up. I don't care if that's how the team is made or what you want to do, but Mike, Jordy, Jay, it does. Y'all got to figure out, like, hey, bro, when they're not falling, this is what we need to do. We shouldn't have to call a timeout. Y'all should know as a team, we shouldn't have to keep jacking up threes. But as long as the coaches are saying it's fine, the players are going to keep doing it, bro. And me, I think that's a bad thing. As far as what the texter was saying, Chris, he was talking about a closer and a clutch player. He's correct. Fox is not a closer. It's a difference between a clutch player and a closer, because you can be clutch all throughout the game. A closer is knowing how to close at the end of the game when the game is like a two-point game, three-point game,
a five-point game with 5 minutes to go.
Period. You know how to get to the foul line. You know how to take a mid-range when you know how to take a mid-range. You're not just jacking up bad shots how Fox does. He's not a closer, bro. He's dope. I'm not taking anything from Fox. But a closer is knowing how to get to the charity stripe line. Not when you're down two with 3 minutes left, bro. You're like, your last four shots are all three-pointers. Like, that's a closer, bro, when you know how to decipher, get everybody in position, but also close a game when and get the basket that you need. That's what that caller was talking about, bro. So it's frustrating with this team, and it's a team game. Keegan, we're tired of telling you to shoot a lot, bro. Harrison, get back on the map. So as far as the team, that's a team problem. But the threes are a coaching thing, and Fox is not a closer, bro. He's a clutch player, but he's not a closer, dog. That's all I got.
Thanks for the call, TC. Chris, the one thing I want to talk about, we'll have a lot of conversation about the threes with Frankie, with Brendan during the roundtable, without them as well. The one thing I did see last night, and I'm curious your thoughts, is that people were saying that last season when De'Aaron did win Clutch Player of the Year, and we saw him try to do it against the Celtics, he just missed the shot. He was getting to the cup and getting to his middies more in clutch time versus the threes. And I'm wondering if part of that is, I got to be careful here, I'm not really trying to go to the free throw line. You know what I mean? Maybe it's being tired. Maybe it's not wanting to go to the free throw line, something like that. Because, yeah, you see Shea in clutch time say, I'm just going to, and they've said the same thing about LeBron, right? When LeBron settles, you see Shea when it's clutch time, you can call me a free throw merchant, but I'm going to make sure we leave here with an opportunity for points versus De'Aaron, who just, he was hot. And I know for you've been on this the whole time about the threes.
Yeah,
De'Aaron's hitting them early.
Yes.
And we're all thinking, is this going to burn us later? Because is he going to just go back to that? Because you never know when the well is going to run dry.
Right.
And the well ran dry. And there was some stop they got. And it was a top of the key three that he took that was just so ridiculous and
yes,
so
it was
unnecessary.
Terrible. I think it was off an offensive rebound.
So unnecessary that is.
He just pulled it. Yeah.
So I don't want to get too caught up in the semantics of a closer versus clutch.
Yeah, I still don't get that.
The bottom line is when you're trying to end these games, we've seen what De'Aaron can do. Right now, it feels like he's going back to the well of the three, even when it's dry, and I'm curious as to why. And again, he tried to get to the midi against the Celtics. It just feels, to be honest, it feels like he's not sure what he wants to do when the game is close and when the game gets tight.
I think the end of the game stuff is mainly, especially right now, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that he just, this isn't a great reason, but I think he honestly doesn't trust his teammates. And we saw it earlier in the year. I think it was in a Golden State game really, really early in the year where De'Aaron in the fourth quarter just went like superhero mode, but like not in a
that
good
was,
way.
That was at home.
It
that
was
at
really, home. Yeah. I think it was like one of your first games. Yeah. I feel like you, me, and Whitey were all sitting next to each other. And I was just, I think Whitey leaned over and said the same thing of just like, boy, like he really does not trust the guys out there. And I think that's a big part of it right now with Malik out. I mean, everybody's right in pointing out that Malik has taken a major step in closing time this year. And I think De'Aaron kind of liked it. I mean, I think that he enjoyed having another option and not having the weight of the world be on his shoulders. And I think some of it is, you know, we're not talking about the fact Davion Mitchell had 8 points in that first quarter. Finished with 8 points. He went 3 of 10. Trey Lyles was 1 of 7. Keegan was 3 of 10 from three, 5 of 16 from the field. HB 1 of 8. Domas even 2 of 7. I think he looked around and said, I feel better doing this myself than trusting my teammates. I don't agree with it at all. I said on the postgame live stream, like, you can get those shots that De'Aaron took in that last minute at any point in the shot clock. That's something that you take 5 seconds to go, clock winding down. Hey, we got to get something up. Take that step back three. That's fine. I can live with it. I don't love it, but at least we tried to get a better shot. I think De'Aaron just didn't trust his teammates in that moment, and I think it's a bigger example of the fact that I do think that this team needs more bodies in the fourth quarter in closing time to have the ball in their hand. They don't have anybody else that they trust with the ball in their hand. This was the problem last year in the playoffs as well. Poats, any Malik and De'Aaron create everything for everybody else in the fourth quarter. All the Sabonis creation stops. And I just think that that was I literally painted this out yesterday. I said the thing that I'm afraid about for this Kings team is 5 minutes to go, 5-point game. What happens? Because it's just De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. And I just don't think that I don't think a lot of people can carry that weight. Not just De'Aaron. And yeah, I definitely think the threes, like you said, I think it was one of those things where he hit him early and he starts feeling it and it's going to end up biting you in the butt later.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't feel himself, if De'Aaron doesn't hit 7 threes, the Kings aren't even close in this game.
Exactly.
So it's a weird push and pull, and that's where I understand what you're saying earlier about being conflicted and being confused about, you know, yes, they played well, but at the same time, you blow this lead. And it's just, it's really confusing, really frustrating, but, you know, I'm even conflicted. Like, I think De'Aaron played good, really good yesterday, but that last minute is inexcusable. Mm-hmm. I didn't love anything that I saw from Fox in that last minute, but at the same time, I don't really know where else he was supposed to go yesterday. I don't think taking that hero ball three, both of them, or all three of them, if you want to include the one that you're talking about, mm-hmm. I don't think those are good shots, but at the same time, where else are they going to go? Because Keon Ellis went ice cold in that second half.
Right, and again, Keon, we get it. Yeah. Anything, you've already gotten enough from Keon.
Oh,
argue even though Davion stopped, you've probably gotten enough from Davion. The problem is, and people get mad, we talk about Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. And Keegan. Both of them.
I'm telling you right now, I do not trust Keegan Murray in the clutch. I trust Keegan Murray. He's only a second-year player.
Bright light, yeah.
That's not a crazy statement.
I don't think so.
I trust Keegan Murray in the first quarter. I trust Keegan Murray in the second quarter. Yeah. I trust Keegan Murray in the third quarter. If the ball goes, and that's why we're all conflicted. I say, oh, man, De'Aaron jacking up a three, hero ball. But do I really want to see Keegan shoot that in the fourth?
Like
not
you said,
really.
Yeah, you don't trust
Davion. He's not there yet.
Yeah.
He's just not, he's not there yet. Yeah. Who on the team do you trust to make a shot in the fourth under 5 minutes besides De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah.
Who? Because there's no one. I don't even trust Sabonis.
I don't either.
Missing bunnies.
I don't trust any.
So the thing is, if I'm De'Aaron,
I'm sure he feels the same way.
I'm Chuck Master Flex because why not?
Yeah.
Because why not? And so that's why it's tough.
I don't know if you noticed either. I just thought about this. Mike Brown didn't mention De'Aaron Fox once, his shot selection once in that fourth quarter, in that press conference he had after the game. Not a single mention of, I thought Foxy was forcing, nothing. So, if anything, Mike Brown actually said the opposite. He said he wanted the team to shoot more, which we'll talk about later. But, I ultimately don't think the team has, and I said this yesterday on the live stream too. I mean, ultimately you could argue that's the Kings season on the line. Like, this is, whether you like it or not, this is how it goes. This is how the game is played. Your star players are always going to have the ball in their hand with the season, with the game on the line, and you got to live with their decisions. And unfortunately, I do think De'Aaron Fox made the wrong decisions, but you're tripping if you think that's not how this story is going to end. That is how this always ends, is with your best player having the ball in his hands in clutch times.
Right.
That's how every team wants to go down. No one wants to go down like the Kings did in game four or game three. HB has the shot.
No.
Nobody wants to see that.
I'd rather De'Aaron take a half-court heave.
100. Like, I don't think that's crazy.
So, yeah, the thing is, it's not about De'Aaron. I don't want him to pass. Did I want him to shoot the three? Not really. But
it's looking for a different shot.
Yes, it's looking for De'Aaron's different shot. I'm not passing.
He's also
that.
Abandoned the mid-range pretty severely.
And maybe it's because
he's been missing it a lot.
He was hitting early, and then he was hitting early. Yeah. He missed the middie to win the game in Boston. Maybe that's in his mind.
Too. His floater's been off.
Who knows? Let's get to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Man, how many times have we talked about it all season long about if the three ain't falling, do something different. Mm-hmm. Switch it up. We talk about it all season. I've been on these airwaves talking with you guys about it even before even you got here, Alan. Mm-hmm. It was Whitey and Watkins, okay? Like, my man TC was out here preaching gospel, man. He was out here spitting. You got to switch it up. If the three ain't falling, drive to the bucket. I understand that three is more than two, but you have a 1-2 shot in making it. And if you're not hitting it, then what are we doing here? You know what I'm saying? It just does not matter. It doesn't – shooting that three, dude, it should not – it shouldn't even be a thought, especially in the clutch like that, dude. Drive to the basket. Try and get yourself a foul. I understand that there are teams out here that won't shoot a freaking free throw all game long. I'm looking at you, Boston, okay? So – like, we got to switch it up, man. We got to switch it up, man.
Thanks for the call, Steven. When we get back, continuing the conversation. And I have an apology to make to somebody on the Thunder because I was not familiar with your game. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
I gotta say this, Chris, because I picked Sabonis as my dog, and he had given it to Chet on multiple occasions The last couple games. I don't know if there's anything that you saw, but clearly Chet made an adjustment, and Sabonis could not do anything against Chet. Chet was blocking other dudes too. Maybe that's why they were afraid to drive, because they were afraid to get blocked. But I gotta give some kudos to Chet Holmgren, because he shut down Sabonis and really shut down everybody's ability to drive.
I think that a big part of it was the fact that Sabonis was in foul trouble pretty much the entire game, and I think it kind of forced him to not be as physical with Chet is what he would like to. I mean, he even got the offensive foul on that one where he tried to drive on him.
Yeah, he flopped.
He flopped a little bit, but at the same time, Sabonis, he can't just, you know, extend your forearm into him. But I think that's really what it was. I mean, definitely shout out Chet. Chet's been a ridiculous defender all year long. That block, to me, that block he had on Davion in that fourth quarter, I don't know why more people weren't talking about that. I thought that was incredibly impressive. Davion blew by him. And Chet, I mean, it was a hook shot, too, from, like, outside the charge circle. And Chet sent that thing to, like, the three-point line. So he's a really, really good defender. It's no point in talking about it now, but I think he would have been the perfect person to put next to Domantas Sabonis. I still think he is, but I definitely think, he did a great job on Domas yesterday, but he was definitely aided by the fact Sabonis couldn't be super physical with him, and so Chet could kind of just hold his ground, Chet definitely impacted other shooters as well. But, yeah, he did a great job defensively yesterday.
Let's hear from Coach Mike Brown as he talks about what went wrong.
I thought in the first half our ball movement was beautiful, and I thought we got bored with it in the second half. We touched the paint and took some tough shots, got our shot blocked a couple of times, even off our offensive rebounds. And, it's hard when you have a formula of success to go away from it. And then a couple of guys missed some shots, and we had wide open shots, and we just turned them down. We turned them down and started driving into defense. And it's the basketball gods will make you pay if you turn down a wide open shot in the NBA. And it's just tough to see how beautiful we played in the first half. And I don't care if we make or miss shots, we just played the right way. And then in the second half, we tighten up and we try to do too much on our own, or we pass up open shots. To me, that was really, really one of it was probably one of the most biggest difference in the ball game.
Chris, I even talked about this myself, because he said that, and then I said, I mean, I saw a bunch of missed open shots in the second half.
Tons.
Do you want to break down, because when somebody hears you passed up open shots, you drove into the defense, and out on the outside looking in, we're all saying you need to be driving more. Can you speak to the philosophy and what Mike Brown is seeing versus what the naked eye is seeing, because
people like me sitting there saying, I mean, I saw them taking open shots. Yeah, they were just bricking them. And I feel like they should be driving more. Yeah. So there's a specific thing that he wants to say, and he says it every single game.
Yeah.
And that's when he's talking about don't get too deep and things like that. There is, and that's the thing. Their system is their system, and they just simply don't have anything outside of De'Aaron Fox and now with Malik Monk out that breaks away from it.
I would first off like to say that I am a bit confused as well from what Mike Brown is trying to message here, because I would say that he obviously always talks about drive and kick and spray threes and all that, and he says how important spray threes are to his system, but at the same time, he's kind of getting upset at his players for trying to create those spray threes by driving in and kicking. So I could understand how maybe if you're a player, you're saying, Mike, so we're not supposed to pass up. And I would probably say he would say, hey, and I also think he's talking about pretty specific players and pretty specific plays.
Harrison Barnes.
I don't know if he's talking about the whole team in totality, because again, they took 58 threes. Like, how much more do you really want your team to take? I think he's talking specifically about Harris. I think he's just upset when you have an open look, take it. You don't need to do the redundancy of driving and kicking if you're already open. I think that's maybe what he's talking about, but I would definitely acknowledge the fact that he's kind of asking for two different things at once. You want them to drive and kick, but at the same time, you can't just take threes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a bit confusing of messaging. I will definitely admit that. But I think in general, Mike just wants these guys to let it fly. Like, I think it is as simple as it doesn't matter if you're making or missing. They were definitely missing.
Yeah.
He just wants you to. And, you know, I think the thing that I really noticed, or a play that really stuck out to me yesterday, was there was that one possession where the Kings had like three or four offensive rebounds, and Davion let three fly without hesitation. And I think that's what he means when he says, if you have an open look, take it. He wants you to be like Davion in that moment where, I don't care if you just missed one. I don't care if you just missed two.
Oh, that terrible, third that one possession
better fly.
That possession where they had four
offensive. They had four opportunities. I mean,
that was crazy.
Again, that is an example of, I think they had opportunities to win the game and play well. They just missed everything. They missed all their shots. And I don't know how much of that is, like, you know, not making adjustment. And that's the confusing part is, you would say, is that you could probably tie your own conclusion into it. But I think the reality is they're having open looks. Keon Ellis, I can picture it perfectly in my head. I think it was 2 minutes after halftime, has a wide open look from the, I don't think it was from the corner. I think it might have been in the from the break. And he dribbled it, had so much time and just bricked it. And I think that really was the case, is they had opportunities. They just continued to miss them. So I don't really know what to do about. I don't know if you could say if that's them being lackadaisical. You could say that's them not adjust. I would just say it's unfortunately it's one of those things where it's a make or miss league, and the Kings were definitely on the missing side of that after being blazing hot in the first half.
But I think part of that is the situation. When it's free flowing and it's the first quarter, it's easy to make shots. I'll literally put it to you like this. That possession that we just discussed with the four offensive rebounds, if that's in the first or second quarter, specifically the first quarter, somebody hits a shot. Fourth quarter, it's a little bit different. I can't explain it, but these are guys in situations that they have not been in before, and everybody is getting tight.
But beginning of the game. Couldn't that be, sorry to cut you off, couldn't you argue that that's just a growing pain? Like,
yeah,
this,
no, no, no.
This team, that,
but that's
that
me
could
saying
be where
that
Mike,
they're not
right,
good
yeah.
enough. That's what I'm saying. They're just not good enough right now.
Yeah.
It's easy when it's easy, free flowing.
And I can see how that would be super frustrating too, because it's like, what do we do? If we're just not good enough, like, how much can you really do?
And, the bottom line is you're asking them to grow right in front of our
time.
face during the season. And they are, but they're
taking lumps.
They're parts and pieces of this that they're not getting there yet. Maybe they'll get, maybe it'll happen next game.
Right.
Who knows? But all we know is that it is very clear that shooting the basketball at the beginning of the game is not the same as shooting the basketball at the end of the game. And we can go all the way back to the Mavericks with Dante Exum.
Yeah.
Okay? You have to make shots when they count. When we return, we will hear from Mike Brown and what he had to say about some of the missed calls. Also, we will break down crowding the paint and ask the question, is Sabonis tired? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.